Hello, everyone. Hello, you've tuned into Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. What's your name? This is a show that you actually get the opportunity to call in and say what your name is. What's in a name anyway? Have you ever noticed that a lot of people are really, well, I guess everybody is aptly named. Like Veronica, I think it means bringer of truth and bringer of I can't remember exactly what it means. I think it's sort of bringer of light. I'm trying to fix my headphone here. And once I had a friend who was an acupuncturist, and her last name was Tack, T-A-C-K. There's all kinds of people who have, and I can't think of an example right now, and this is not what I was going to start to talk about. But who are you and what's in a name anyway? One of the things we're going to talk about tonight is how do you know when you're into your dharma? Well, I wonder if the name doesn't tell us a little bit about it. Maybe we should all take between now and next week a little time to look up the meaning of your name and see if it's apropos of who you are. Some people change their names in order to create it to be apropos of who you are. I've been called Ronnie a lot of my life, as a lot of you already know that. But going back to Veronica has made a lot of sense regarding my dharma, because a lot of it is about bringer of truth, bringer of light. It's strong, it's grounded, and it's musical, but it has this sort of deeper commitment to bringing truth. Ronnie is a lot more, fun, light, fast-changing, and so on, and that's not a bad thing either, but Veronica seems more appropriate to it right now. Also, as you get older, you kind of want to be profound or something, don't you? Not that I spend my day trying to be profound. Anyway, the other thing about dharma that I find really interesting is when, have you noticed this? We're living an astrological, apparently, big challenge right now. All over the world, the collective is moving and a-grooving and is stifled here and bringing up other things there, and there's sort of chaos. But I was thinking about the word dharma, which is what your purpose is and my purpose is. And the collective of all of us also has a purpose. So even in all this astrological configuration or reconfiguration, there is influence on the dharma of the whole collective, isn't there? So a lot of things, I started to say this, that a lot of things about dharma are really interesting and readable by you, right? That if you're, when I'm doing my work, which is doing readings and understanding energy and deeply deepening and understanding how energy works in our psychology, in our emotionality, in our outpicturing, in our lives, and so on, and helping, I never help anybody that I don't learn something about how it all comes together. And I know that I'm on my dharma, which has a lot to do with figuring out how people work and helping and loving, learning to love. Learning to love has been a huge thing. And one of the ways I know when I'm on my path or I'm in my dharma is things kind of flow. And then say I'm really tired, and I'm often not a very good sleeper. I practice sleeping every night, darlings, don't you know? But I'm not always really good at it. So very often I'll be extremely kind of stretched because I haven't had much sleep. And then I go ahead and do like 3 readings. And I'm just high as a kite. I'm very happy. And it's not just because I get paid for it. It's because it's the work I'm here to do. And when I don't do it at all, I really, I feel kind of lost. It seems like my dharma is about perceiving, exploring, creating, and communication is a really big deal. And how do I know it's mine? Because I feel so much better when it's happening. I don't feel happy when our communications are contrary with one another, But I feel very happy when I'm communicating. Even if I'm wrangling with writing, I'm writing my book and I'm coming along really quickly. But even if I'm wrangling with how to write a certain aspect, I still feel like I'm in it, that I'm present and I'm alive. That's what it is. I feel really alive. And I would say that your dharma very often is where, you know, your reason for being alive is very much tapped around that, isn't it? So we're going to talk tonight about your dharma. And I think I've told you this, when I was a little kid, like 3 or 4 years old, I used to go and sit in this ditch and pull my hat down. I did a fair amount, I think. Just a second, my phone is ringing and it's somebody who usually calls into the show. Maybe she doesn't remember. I used to sit there and really contemplate where I'd been before. I knew that I had never been born and I would never die. And I had this really deep flow inside of me and it knew where I'd been before and could bring up pictures and so on. So there's that like really deep, deep part of myself that I call my infinite nature. You've got it too. And the way that flows through us, when I have a loneliness or I have, and I see this in my clients as well, some people who talk about it, when I'm really lonely or I'm really lost, I can feel like a cavernous, deep inside part. Have you ever felt that? It's like way down deep inside, it's unfathomable. You don't know what it is. Then when I'm, after going through some difficulties, challenges, or places where you have to, you know, really look for what's important to you and what your next step is, it seems to reach me way inside and touch that deep inner place, touch that kind of velvety stream of infinity that runs through me. I can feel it. Can you? And I was talking to Bob a while back, and he was saying, he kind of knows his dharma when he seems to be able to, he goes somewhere and he seems to be able to respond, no matter how broad the topics are, he's able to respond from a deep place in himself. But the other interesting thing about him and other people, I have my own issues, I'm going to pick on Bob because we talked about it, is that he gets a funny hiccupy kind of thing that happens. And the guides were saying, remember that when you're not quite attuned to what you're doing, or you're feeling a lack of confidence, or you're feeling controlled, that's when that. So when Bob was talking about a situation he felt was representative of his dharma, the guides immediately brought up, did you hiccup? Did you make that funny burping hiccup sound that you make? He said, no, he didn't. And what's interesting, that is an indication. When we have physical tensions of a certain kind that come up under certain circumstances, that's really evidence that we're being challenged and we're not just in the flow of ourselves, but we're being stymied or stopped or stressed by whatever's going on. And that's not really being in our own personal dharma, but it might actually, maybe it's in our drama, huh? Instead of the dharma. It might actually be that you're right on path with yourself, but you have to break out through or break your way through some of the challenges that block your knowing from what it is you really want to do. The other thing is when you're, and Bob mentioned this one as well, and I think a lot of you would do this one, which is, we know this, when your life is a lot of synchronicities, then you're being guided, you're right on your path, and you're flowing with your dharma. You're flowing with that part of you that's really ready to come into the world with a certain kind of zest. Now here's, another thing that somebody else brought up, Carol. She was talking about astrologically things are really tricky right now. So I thought, okay, I'll just take a look at that. And I know that Mercury is retrograde till the end of the month. And I had been reading today from, her name is Elizabeth Peru, I believe. Yeah, Elizabeth Peru. And she's talking about Chiron is retrograde. And then she said, are you more pulled in, subdued, contemplative, or retrospective? Well, if you have, there's a good reason. It's on the 16 hours from the time of this post. Chiron, a huge asteroid in our solar system, moves retrograde relative to Earth. And that will mean we have five planetary bodies moving indirect. Mercury, Saturn, Pluto, Chiron, and Neptune. So it seems like we've gone a little still. And add to this solstice tomorrow, we have a period for deep and necessary reassessment of our course of action. I like that. You know why I like that? Because we heard 2012, things were going to change radically, didn't we? And we know that retrogrades are a time of moving back in, inside of yourself, and letting yourself bring up or letting yourself face maybe old wounds, old injuries, things that have happened ages back. And here it is, old wounds from past experiences over the next 5 months. That's a long time. Moments of melancholy or feeling very empowered for all you've been through to make you a strong being that you are today. In short, it's an excellent period. Here, this is important too. It's an excellent period to uncover your true motivations, and this is back to your dharma, as you're vulnerable enough to surrender to what's in your best interests. So I was cogitating this whole retrograde thing, and I was thinking, you know, it's really a personal thing. Okay, it's we talk about the collective dharma, we talk about the personal dharma. And dharma is actually a much deeper thing than just your approach and your attitudes. But in any case, I'm playing with these words tonight. And it seems really, really, for some of us who were born in retrogrades, it seems really important and peaceful to go back in and be contemplative and to be sort of nesting deep inside with what's been. And recognizing yourself and allowing that kind of introspective part of your nature to reign, if you will. Because it's through that that we get to distill the wisdom and the essence of our beingness. And then we move forward and we've got a bigger composite of who we are. How do you feel about that? Does that make sense to you? All right, well, let's do our joint meditation. Let's do a meditation all together. And talking about dharma and talking about all of these retrogrades out there, one of the things that is really, 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 really important, really, 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 really important is meditation, because it drops you way down deep inside. It helps you make that connection with the part of you that's only you, right? And it's not maybe only you, it's you and your rapport with the universe, with being, with all it is. So it's really important. So if you and I are undergoing the swashbuckling changes, because it's not only the contemplative part, there's a lot of retrogrades going on which are creating chaos and a feeling of things moving very, very fast, which I think they're doing anyway. Watching that things, people are dropping things off and starting new projects or feeling chaotic because what they thought was going to be stable isn't so stable anymore. So let's go back into meditation. We drop it. Pardon? Okay, thank you. Thank you. You got callers there, so I'm going to take your calls before our meditation, but I want to explain what I want to do first. And what happens is when we get into ourselves, we drop into ourselves. And then if we all do it together, and if we have a lot of calls, we'll just do it for like 4 or 5 minutes. If we all do it together, then we develop a really empowering, and I mean empowering for everywhere it reaches, a coherent field. And in that coherent field, life is less chaotic and pockets of change can flow much more easily, and people feel more soothed, and people feel more peaceful. So that's why I always like to have a little bit of meditation time on Radiance by Design. I'm so excited we have some callers. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello.
Veronica?
Yep.
Hey, it's Aaliyah again.
Hi, Aaliyah. How you doing?
Really good. Yeah, good.
Are you feeling the retrogrades?
I feel everything in my body physically, so I won't say I'm feeling good physically, but I'm getting out in the water, and so that always makes me feel a little bit better, at least when I'm in the water. But yeah, I can feel the stuff move through my body. So, it's kind of like a slow, it's kind of like grinding through or, pushing something through, It just takes.
Do you feel a chaos in your body as well? Because there's both are going on, aren't they?
No, I don't feel chaos. I know I have to support my body through this process because it's doing something that I couldn't even tell you. I don't even know, what it's doing. It's processing stuff. It's doing stuff. It's on its own path. I just have to get out of the way as much as possible
fun?
And not, react too much to what's going on.
Yeah.
And do a lot of mental support of it. But I wanted to say that I think a lot of people earlier this year, a couple channels out there, they were saying, oh, now is the time. You need to really start to move and follow your dreams. And now is the time to take action. And I'm like, are you crazy? those false starts, at the race, when the horses go out of the gate really fast but the gun hasn't gone off and I'm like, you people are, I think you're just kind of a newbie at this creative stuff because, that's how it works. You just don't, you just don't grab the first thing and go with it. You kind of like that's okay at a certain point, but not if you think anything's going to come of it. It's fine to play with it,
But I think, Aaliyah, I think part of it is that we read these astrological things, but for example, I was born in Mercury retrograde, and I find a lot of peace when it's Mercury retrograde. Other friends of mine can't stand it because they weren't. So
yeah.
I'm going, it's so individual how our energy fields are interacting with this great, huge, universal doodah, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of strange because, I was writing a book of about a week ago, and then I suddenly just dropped it. I have no idea what the heck that was about, because I only do things that I'm kind of inspired to do, directed to do, and I go ahead, and I was thinking, wow, my creative energy is moving so much faster than last year. It took me a whole year to do a tarot deck, and now I'm working on another tarot deck. I mean, it's just like, yeah. I mean, I'm like, I just decided that the book felt heavy to me, and my plans felt heavy, and what I want is lightness. I want, and so this tarot deck is completely different from the other one, and it's very, kind of comical, and, it's built on, it's symbolic and comical at the same time. So I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. I don't know if I'll drop it in the middle. I never do that, but never did it. I just did it, And so I think maybe I got caught up in the false start thing too, But I think some people, when they do these channel things, they talk about their own process. And
that could be because it is so unique one to the other, and that's not what I hear. I read the astrological things and I go, well, what? I didn't experience this and I didn't experience that.
No.
And I'm writing every day without fail, and I'm really committed to it. So I'm going to get my book.
And that's a certain kind of, I say mood, attitude, creative attitude. We all have different things we're comfortable with, creatively, and everyone has a work style and stuff like that. And I've been, as a coach for creative people, I've been able to deal with a whole lot of different work styles, a whole lot of different ways of being. But it seems to me that my way of creating is changing too. And I just, it's like being on this quarter horse or something, the horse symbology again. But something moving really fast is going in all these different directions, you know, and it's like, okay, slow down, just enjoy the day.
You know, are you in Aries?
I have an Aries moon.
Oh, okay. Because it's interesting, because I was flashing as an intuitive while you were talking. I'm going, and Nora's going in all these different ways. I thought, oh, she's very influenced by Aries right now. So, you know, I mean, that to me is just a wonderful teaching tool for how many of us will do it differently from each other. I like that. I like to hear about that.
Yeah, I'm still kind of curious about how it's going to play out in the future, because I do know that I do think that the money system will eventually transform.
Yeah, but you know something, Aaliyah, and everybody, the guides have said, and I remember Drunvalo, Melchizedek, saying 15, 20 years ago or something, he said, do not make predictions because the change factor is going to be at the all-time high. And that anytime you make predictions, they shouldn't even necessarily hold. I think that's really relevant, you know?
Well, it's a quantum soup right now. We got to the edge of this. We keep on going through these portal things, you know, which I could feel a couple of weeks ago. And that's probably why I changed so much. And, you know, I felt like I'm in a whole new world where the book doesn't make any sense anymore. That's why I'm not going to publish it, probably.
That could be, actually. Yeah. But yeah. I don't know.
So predictions, I get the feeling that money will change, but it's not. I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying. Well, I'm predicting it only.
Well, here's what I want to say about that is that it would be. I believe it'll happen. A. B. I don't think it's a good idea for us to wait on it at all.
For money to transform. Yeah. That's a very. Oh, I love that thought, because I was thinking this the other day. I took out this, it's a Kindle book on EFT, you know, emotional.
Yes, freedom technique, yeah.
Yeah, and it was on abundance, and I'm like, well, you know, they've got a really nice assortment of, you know, scripts and stuff. You know, I'll hit on a few of these. And I thought, well, you know what, I'm thinking, well, all I have to do, and I thought this about a year ago, is change the intent on money, you know, that money... right now, or has had the intent of, you know, greed, you know, holding on to your little pie and, you know, getting more of it and getting so much of it that you have enough cushion to protect mm-hmm. you from those terrifying events that might happen to you. And I've seen people, you know, my mother's best friend had diabetes, and she was a wealthy woman, and her money could not protect her from the disease, you know. It was a horrible way to die. Horrible. So there's
what did
no
she
way
have?
That money, diabetes.
Oh, okay.
And you know, she was the end of the diabetes, where she would wake up in the morning and they'd cut another piece off of her. You know, and they thought that, you know, she thought that, you know, she didn't remember giving permission for those things. But of course, they were trying to save her life. But, you know, anyway, just it was a lesson to me. She was a very wealthy woman. Her money didn't make any difference. She was a prisoner in her bed. And,
well, that reminds me. Oh, and I have another caller, so I better take the next call. But that reminds me of something that I will talk about after the next caller. Thanks, Aaliyah. Take care, darling.
All right. You too. Bye.
All right. Bye. And I think we have another caller. Are you there? Are you still waiting? I hope.
Of course.
Hi. How are you?
Hi, Susan in Brooklyn.
I knew it was Susan. I could tell. How are you handling the retrogradeness of this planet?
How long has this been going on?
How are you handling all the retrogradedness?
How long has it been going on?
Oh, I think, I don't really actually ever know. June 7th? But I think some of them, let me see. I think Pluto, Uranus, and Mars has been going on for quite a long time, hasn't it?
Really? Because I think that there might have been some kind of a mistake, and maybe, I don't know how that relates to the Mercury retrograde, except that I did go to the ear doctor a couple of weeks ago.
Good. Did you get that out of your ear?
And they told me a second piece wasn't there.
Hmm.
So is the second piece still there?
Where would it have gone?
Well, maybe they didn't see it, you know, because it was. They said they saw all the way over to the eardrum, you know, but it might have been like lining the canal on the way to the eardrum.
Tell me this: does it hurt in there?
It didn't pop out.
It does?
No, not at all.
Okay, I wouldn't worry about it. I still see something, but maybe it's scar, but it's right on the inside of the, closest to the outside of the eardrum, or of the ear canal. But I wouldn't worry too much
about it.
You look like you're all right.
Okay.
But don't play around with that again. Never put anything bigger, smaller than your elbow.
I know.
Okay.
I keep talking to you all the time about this dental work that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And what they want to do is they want to take the remainder teeth out of the top and leave them there so it can heal before putting a denture in there. And I just can't seem to wrap my mind around it because I'm kind of withdrawn as it is, and I feel like it would cut off my singing and performing, for one thing.
But wait a minute, they don't need to do that for very long, do they? Just a couple of days?
No, they want to do it for a couple of months.
No, please.
You know, and...
No, why would they do that?
So have them insist that they make me a temporary then.
Yes, please, come on. That's ridiculous because
then
you're going to feel like you have to hide away and you'll get a little bit self-conscious, a little paranoid. Not, I don't mean capital P, I mean, you know.
So I guess I can insist on that. Okay, well
I think it's going to be okay. There's some infection though, isn't there?
It's in the bottom. The infection is in the bottom. They won't fix the teeth on the bottom, but, you know, like, want to pull one of them.
They're going to do the top or the bottom?
They're going to do the top and the bottom. They're going to take out the top.
Okay. You know what?
If you get a better way of doing this, then I could, you know, suggest it to them.
I don't think they're going to like it when it's an intuitive person doing that. But one of the things that helps a lot...
Well, they don't have to know. They can think it came from me.
Okay. One of the things that you can use, you know, when you get those tinctures, what are the brands of the tinctures? They come in a little bottle with orange labels. I don't know what brand it is, but the one I use because I'm on the radio or because I talk a lot with my clients and because I like to sing like you, but probably not as well. There, you can get this spray echinacea stuff, and I have found when I have tooth stuff, I spray inside my mouth a lot, and it helps a whole lot. I'll even put a little dollop of oil of oregano in there and just give it a lot of spray, and boy, does it make a difference on the infection stuff in your mouth. Are you there?
Okay, so you're saying to get... Yeah, I'm here, yeah.
Just get that little echinacea throat spray, and if you take a few minutes and get a little oil of oregano and put that in there too, just a few drops because it's pretty gross, and then just keep spraying it in through your mouth, and it helps heal. What?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Anyway, we should probably go, but I think it's going to be okay. And don't let them do it for 2 months and keep on going.
Okay, that would be great. And where do I get this spray?
Anywhere that there's a health food rack, even. Health food store, online if you need to.
Great.
Or, you know, any place where they sell any kind of health foods. Okay?
Well, that casts a whole new light on the thing.
Yeah, good. Well, and you'll keep us informed. But I better say goodbye for now.
Okay.
And thank you so much for your call, Susan.
Thank you.
All right. This is Veronica Entwistle, and we're talking tonight about who you are. We're talking about how, for example, all the retrogrades can have a different impact on you and your life than me and my life. How interesting it is to think of if you and I, this is something I used to say when I was on Jackie's show, I'd ask the team this, but if you and I and someone else are all sitting together on a couch, right? And you're perceiving the world this way, and someone else perceiving the world that way, and someone else is perceiving the world a different way, we are all living in a different reality, right? And I really think it's interesting because if you're driving a car, you can very often be in that kind of mode, even when there's rush hour, and you can just know that there's quite a bit of space between your car at the front and your car at the back. You can drive and keep quite a space around yourself. There's a lot of ways in which you can prove to yourself, even, you know, a lot of you have talked about this before, where you can always get a parking spot, even though things are crowded. You drive up, somebody pulls out, and you get it. It's part of your attitude, but it's also part of your energy. So we were talking earlier about the Dharma. That means like, who are you really? What is your purpose? And so on. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was trust. But in any case, we're going to come at it from this perspective. That if you have a sense of your own Dharma, who you are, what you're really like, what it is you're here to do, and then dropping in and noticing the number of reactions you have and quelling those or neutralizing those and radiating out more consciously as you stay tuning in more and more to who you are and what you are. I feel that there's quite a different response between you and someone else who's less aware and is really counting on things to be externally devised in a different way. Meaning, so for example, I'm going to be in a car and I'm going to be in rush hour and it's going to be bloody awful. Oh my gosh, it's going to be awful. Oh, I don't know if I can stand it. Oh, look at all the cars. Have you ever met anybody who does that? I sure have done it. And I've been with a lot of people who have done it. I think a lot of people work out their matador instincts out on the road. But Nini, pardon me, a call. We got another call. Oh, goody. I'll finish this thought. And then I'll take your call, and I'm really looking forward to it. Anyway, so the whole idea is if you go out on the road and you see that it's going to, you already know it's going to be crowded, but you're going to center yourself and you're going to see yourself having space and making it fairly breezy, and you're going to radiate that out there, making peace and comfort with it. Guess what? You're going to notice a change, a big difference. And I'm saying how you mobilize your life in the middle of all this retrograde stuff has a lot to do with how you synchronize yourself with your Dharma, with your inner, with your deepening intentions. And if some of your intentions are cucky, change them. Change them. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. And thank you for being our next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello, your voice went away. Hello.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, I can hear you now.
Oh, what a shame. Looking forward to talking to you.
I can hear you now.
No. You can?
Yeah, I can.
All right. Yes, so my name is Jackie, and
Hi, Jackie.
In terms of retrograde, well, a fellow was supposed to come and help me with an electrical issue today and never showed up, so that might be Mercury retrograde, but I don't know how I'm personally experiencing it, you know, in terms of my inner workings, but I wanted to comment on something that you said about people being, you know, so different. And when I was younger, I always thought, how could people even get together as friends or in relationships or anything? Because we're so different. But then as I matured, I, you know, figured it all out and started connecting with people. And now that I'm in my early 60s, and I'm realizing that the thing that gets me the most together with other people is love, is that feeling of love and appreciation and gratitude that they're in my life. And no matter what comes up, deep gratitude. But what I wanted to talk to you, to you about before the retrograde thing came up is that I wanted to ask you if you think this is possible. My beloved partner, my life partner, passed away about 10 months ago. Hmm. And I've gone through all the mourning. You know, it's just been devastating. And I am
was it a surprise?
Much better the last. Pardon?
Was it a surprise?
No, I mean he had been sick for a few years, and but it, you know, even if it's not a surprise. I mean we were playing bridge that morning at the senior center, you know, so it wasn't a surprise, and it doesn't matter if you think it's coming, you protect yourself by telling yourself, you know, it's going to continue forever, you know, even though we knew, you know, he wasn't going to live long. But anyway, so, but the thing that I was going to talk to you about, because it's a new phenomenon with me, is that the last, like, 3 or 4 weeks, I've been feeling, like, uber good, like, really good.
I like that.
Like, great. And I've been suffering so much, it's just like a light, like something switched. And I went like, what is it? And he flashed in front of me, because I'm really connected with him still on the other side. Mm-hmm. And, but I said like, you know, source, universe, what is this? Why am I feeling so good, you know, suddenly? And I kind of heard him tell me that, well, I knew, he wasn't telling me, I just knew that he was supporting me. He was giving me extra love. He was sending me things.
I
wondered
that.
in your knowledge, in your worldview, is that something that happens?
Yeah, for me, very much so. Very, very much so. And it's, he must have felt really badly when he died, did he? Because he's been going through
about
a lot
leaving?
Of healing and is feeling a lot better and is very eager to support you and help you. He loves you very much, you know.
Well, we loved each other very much. You know, we were just one of those rare birds. We were only together 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our ups and downs and some, you know, dragons to fight together, but or whatever, but... You know, we loved each other deeply, so.
I'm really glad that he's showing up. You know, when my father passed, which wasn't that long, about a year ago, he has helped me so many different ways, because he said, the first thing he said is, I didn't know, and I didn't stand behind you, and I will now do that. So I can say to you, well, that's probably my imagination, wishful thinking, but I'll just find all of a sudden, I feel somebody's got my back and I'm moving like nobody's business. And I have felt also very, very overjoyed for the last couple of months and a lot of self-love, which just came bursting through. And I like
too.
That. And I think that you're catching a wave and I'm catching a wave of what's out there too.
I'm feeling really universal love and total connectedness with nature and... Like, I'm not saying that the world is going to suddenly be okay. I'm not Pollyannish about it, but, and I'm not even saying that, you know, humankind's going to make it, you know, I'm not even sure about that. But I'm saying that I feel divinity in all my cells. I feel love in all my cells, and that I'm a being of love on a very, very, very regular basis, like all the time now.
Oh, that's called waking up. You're awakened, you know. And also, it's part of your dharma to come into that. You know that? We talked about dharma, you know. It is a part of your dharma to move yourself into that. And we could say it's really unfortunate that your partner passed. But on the other hand, we could say it's not about living or dying for you. It's about unfurling this amazing lovingness and taking it, whether you're on this planet or you're just going on and on. It's an infinity thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But
and
I
you were ready. Pardon me?
I was saying that that his passing over after I've, you know, suffered a lot and cried a lot and, wow, that was intense, right? And I'm not saying it's completely over, but it's like it's shocked me somehow, shocked my energetic system. It shocked it open to, and because I loved him so much and I dwell on how much I've loved him, how much I do love him, and how fortunate I was to have this love, that it's just like opening, and I feel like he's on the other side too, helping me open my heart up and open me up. So,
but you know what else is interesting, Jackie? Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to add to a slightly different perspective to what you're saying, which is when someone passes that you're so deeply connected to, your identity has to go through kind of a total change as well. And very often that's an opening process in itself, almost like we're packaged this way. Packaging pulls apart when the other person leaves that way. And then you can open up. And grieving is a very painful thing, but it's a very, very useful dynamic for humanity, isn't it?
Yes, you know. It is. It's like a clearinghouse. And I will say that.
But that's because I want to say this. It's because you let it be. You used it as a clearinghouse. You didn't just keep yourself hiding in it. You see.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Oh no! I made a commitment that I was going to experience this full blown, because I feel like every experience has source in it. Every experience we should.
You're
be grateful
right.
For.
Absolutely, it's beautiful to say that. Mm-hmm.
Matter, I don't, even in the deepest humiliation, there's it's all God, it's all source, and that humiliation is just grist for the mill so that you can, you know, get on with the business of figuring things out a little bit more, you know, with, you know, zooming up the growth ladder.
Mm-hmm.
For the, you know, that's what these negative things are. They're all source. So anyway,
I don't know if
you.
They're negative. they're negative only in that we don't want them to go that way. But another way of looking at them, they're not really negative. They're just experiences, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're not as much fun to participate in. So people tend to not feel good about experiencing them, but. I am grateful for all of my experiences, whether they're not as much fun or whatever, because I know that they have some jewel of something. I tend not to want to use the word growth, because growth kind of sounds like you need to move step by step someplace, when I don't think that's true. I think it's that you only need to awaken to discover who you are, not grow into who you are. We're already there. We just have to open it up.
And I think actually reiterating what I've already said is that I do think grief is a tool for that.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'll leave it at that, because I think we could play with the words for a long time, but I really feel like you're a wonderful example, and I really appreciate your calling in, and I appreciate your partner, your husband. Was it your husband?
Well, we weren't married in the legal sense. We were married in our hearts.
But he stands so right there.
I called him my husband. He called me his wife. But
and he loves you very much. And I just appreciate that. And I see so many people on the other side. And usually the ones that I see are usually like that. They're here to be our neighborhood, only the neighborhood has got different dimensions now, you know. And they do love us. Yeah. We're very important to them, and they're very important to us. Some of them. Aww. Not everybody. Some people just go, and that's it. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. Thank you for your call, and I better carry on. We haven't done our meditation yet. But
I'm
thank you so much.
Looking forward to that.
All right,
thank you, Veronica.
Take care. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
So here, let's do our meditation. I wanted to say this, that one of my wonderful friends who used to call into the show fairly often, Carol, was saying, talk about what we're like in the womb. So let's all do a meditation together. And as we go into each chakra, making sounds, I want you to go into, when you go into the belly area, I want you to focus in there and make sounds as you ask your higher guidance and your higher self to show you more about yourself in the womb. If you feel like it, you can stay on that chakra. I'm going to go all the way through them 3 times each. And remember, we're building a coherent field. But if you have any sense of your own dharma, if you don't have any sense of your own dharma, and you feel like sitting with yourself in the womb as the fetus and then the bebé, stay there and do that. But make sounds with me anyway, okay? All right, take a deep breath. And focus on the base of your spine. And the sound is... Good work. Now we're going to do orange, and this is the womb. So let's see if you can find anything about yourself in the womb. And if not, you can just color it bright, clear orange. But if you do, go ahead and stay with it and learn whatever you can. And the sound is orange, and the sound is ooh. Ooh. At least Carol's getting more information about yourself as we move to the solar plexus. Now remember, this is your personal power center, so it would also relate to the womb, wouldn't it? They all relate anyway. And the sound is oh, and the color is bright, clear, golden yellow. Personal power must be about love, because my arms are just going crazy there. How we reach for and receive that love. Now let's move into the green chakra, and it is about love and courage and expression of courage. It's also about grief. The color is orange, or is green. And instead of just going, ah, which is the sound of inspiration, we're going to sing it. Ah. Good, beautiful green, green, green. Don't be afraid when you get dark patches. We shouldn't be afraid of our dark. Just keep singing into it and expand it. Move your attention to your throat chakra. It's blue, a very, very clear blue. They say eggshell. But if you get a clear royal blue, it's okay as long as it's clear. Remember, your neck is consciousness of self and how you're developing yourself with all the impetus of these wonderful experiences. It squeezes through that little chakra and becomes your wisdom that floats through your words. It's as in everything, everyone. Open your throat like a bowl, not like a tube. One more to go up and down your ears, your ear tubes. And now up into your third eye, and that's how you have your sixth sense and you want it to increase. You want to be able to see beyond, feel, know beyond. And the sound is like intuitive. Ready? Focus in between your brow, right into your brain. Excellent. Top of your head is violet, brings in God, guides, angels, higher power, higher self. And the sound is way up with your mind, way out into the great central sun, and draw down these wonderful new frequencies and run them right through your body. Into the core of the earth and back up again, up through the spine, making the sound all the way up into the great central sun. Everybody looks so bright. Put your hands out, the palms of your hand, and feel the wonderful energy you and I and all of us together have created to make people feel better, to make people courageous, expanded, and as Jackie would say, to feel the love in every cell, the divinity in every cell. And I wanted to say about you, Carol, I think you might have felt something about yourself in the womb, because what I felt was her becoming aware. What happened to the rest of you in the womb? And I know we have to end this show, but maybe we'll talk about it next week. In the womb, I see, Carol, there's a part of you that wants to awaken to the fact that she is love. She's choosing to push aside or be done with a lot of the pressures that she had in her soul's journey before she entered the womb. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, I hope you're all feeling pretty good. And remember, in these times which are known as still, contemplative, chaotic, fast-moving, accelerated, decreased, whatever they are, drop inside and trust who you are to resonate with the impact of these solar experiences. And it might be different than mine, and it might be different than Carol's, and it might be different than Susan's, and it might be different than Bob's, it might be different than Jackie's. But the interesting thing is, trust. You're the one who has to learn to trust who you are, and from that we extend and expand out into the universes. So thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Much love to all of you. Keep me posted, veronicaentwistle.com. Love to hear from you. There is somebody who sent me a question and I never did answer, so I'm going to go after that probably tomorrow because it'll be too late. All right, much love to you all. Thank you again. Many blessings.